So we're looking at the Industry Bible Radio Today Industry News. We see Mr. FM has hired former Real Radio Breakfast Show presenter Gay Lofthouse for breakfast. Blogs about departing scenarios from Heart, working mom. There's so much about our ace Gay. I mean, it's amazing, Eva, as you found yourself when you actually met the amazing wonderment that was and is Gay Lofthouse. What excitement. The York Maze, of course.
Oh, yes, that was very
exactly.
exciting. I liked
very
it.
Very exciting. Was it Jamie Anderson? Was it Thunderbird 2? No, it was Gay Lofthouse waving her little hand and all sorts of things. Gail, co-founder of Siren FM, we go back, don't we, my girl?
Yes, far too far, Alex. How many years is it?
I think you graduated in the 20th century, as far as I recall.
Well, I'm nearly 40.
No.
So it must be 20 years ago.
Well, there we are. Sergeant Pepper taught the bands to play 20 years ago today. But welcome back to your first midweek drive since, well, what we used to do the afternoon show, and then I used to pick up the drive time after that, if memory serves, back in Hull.
Well, I was just thinking, if you think about it, you've probably got one of the longest-running commercial radio shows in the country.
Oh, there we are. And yet we don't take ads, so it's not commercial.
Are you not at all?
No. Public service broadcasting. Good heavens, yes.
Wow, well, look at you.
Well, we couldn't be at the behest of capitalism, Gail. That's for the likes of Minster and Heart FM and such like. No, great stations
yeah.
are there.
So, that's true.
Pulling up various images there of Gay Lofthouse, can I introduce you again, a reminder for the listener, we have Katie Dore and we have Eva MacDonald. Eva, of course, you met. Katie is a PA to the great and good here at the University of Lincoln and a postgraduate student. So having got a postgraduate degree yourself at the University of Hull, you can advise Katie, who's passed with flying colours once again, her current sort of routines. Maybe that lecture that I did for science fiction in the society actually had some help. I don't know.
That was the best lecture ever. It was fabulous.
Well, thank you very much, Katie. That's very good. Anyway, Katie, any questions you'd like to put to the Lofthouse person herself, whether it's, you know, a real radio mum-to-be Gay Lofthouse working from home. Obviously, that was a wee while ago, but still.
It really was.
Katie, the floor is yours.
Well, I can't believe we've not met. We're going to have to meet up. Mum-to-be, but now I'm presuming mum?
Yes, I've got a little girl. She's 5 years old. She's currently climbing on the windowsill in the living room, which is where I'm sat.
Good.
So I'm trying to keep a vigilant eye on her so that she doesn't do herself an injury.
It all works well on that sort of basis. That's critical stuff. So, I mean, you've been with Minster now, obviously, which is York's premier radio station. You see the way I just dropped that in there? A little something.
For
a wee while. How's it shaping up? And do you ever get the hankering to actually go over and educate the Americans once again and say, actually, it's time I went to Chicago and was taken on board by WPRS or whatever?
I ever want to teach the Americans?
Yes, how to do radio.
No. They do it differently to us, don't they? And the Australians do it totally differently to us as well. I just think we're kind of a different breed over here. But particularly when I listen to Australian radio, the thing that they do that we don't is they're allowed to swear, Alex.
Yes, they do.
Their language is very.
It's the sort of thing. It's the sort of thing that could give nervous breakdowns to nurses if you're not very careful on that one.
No, it's true. It's true. It's absolutely true. But I don't think I'd have anything to teach the Americans, and similarly, I don't think they're the same.
Gail, I don't know. I can see masterclasses coming out until, you know, the next stage of development, really. It's a case of there's the Lofthouse way and there's the left cheek way.
I'm quite happy sort of doing what I do, getting up early and doing the show and then sort of living a basically normal life. I have done a bit of lecturing, to be honest.
I know you have.
But it's been very much in this country, and kind of restricted to, well, Yorkshire and Lincolnshire, really.
Yeah, well, look, Brian Rudd still regularly talks about the impact that you actually had on some of his media production students. So, you know, it's all good. Anyway, share with us, for those people who sort of, you know, obviously tomorrow we clearly expect them to be tuned into the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, but that's also available on podcast. Why should somebody actually sort of tune into the Minster FM Breakfast Show this week?
Well, I wouldn't tune in tomorrow. I'm not there.
Oh.
I'm having a training day tomorrow, but I don't know. The kind of show that we do is a very light-hearted show. It gets you up in the morning. It just gets you ready for work. We give you all the information that you need to know for your day, whether it's the travel or the weather or the news or the dafter stories, the lighter stories, our personal stories. We take you on an arc through our lives. And everybody tells us that the feeling you get from our show is just really, really positive without being sort of cheesy, over-the-top, giggly and laughy. It's a very much a genuine experience, and hopefully we reflect the lives of people who are in our direct marketplace. That's the aim.
See, there we are. You see, that's almost the perfect breakfast show. Apart, of course, from those that are offered on Siren 107.3 FM, which in some instances have an awfully long traffic and travel situation. But never mind. Moving on from that particular perspective, any other questions, Eva, you'd like to put to Gail Lofthouse?
From the Sky News Centre at 6.
Yeah, not quite. Carry on.
It's like,
yes,
that's
exactly.
A question.
It was a question. It was a surreal one, but carry on.
Well, what events have you got coming up? What projects have you got going on at the moment?
What projects, Gail?
Okay, what projects have we got? Well, a couple of things we're sort of working towards. We're doing a big school reunion in September, but it's not for... it's not for school children going back, it's for adults. So we're going to do a big sort of 70s, 80s and 90s party. So back to the sort of...
Will you have Dilly Boppers then, Miss Lofthouse?
Yeah, that's the deal. We're hoping to have some live music acts. So that's one of the things that we're working on at the moment. We get involved with a lot of events that are already taking place. So York 10K is happening on the 2nd of August. So I personally won't be running it. My husband will. He's a mad runner, but I will be comparing the event. So I will be on the stage there.
David, okay, but bringing Gail off to us, that's what I say. You should be doing our graduate award ceremony, Gail.
Jules Holland is performing at Howard very soon. Also in August, I think it's around about the 20th, 22nd, that sort of time. So I will be bringing him on the stage and doing a bit of
Can he not get on the stage himself then? These days he's not that old.
He can't, unfortunately.
Dear Lord.
I think what happens sometimes when you do these sort of big, very big events is that it's not really up to the artist to sort of give a little bit of housekeeping.
No.
So it's kind of my job to go on and say, you know, are you ready to see, you know, one of the greatest acts that the world has ever produced? But also at the same time, I'm there to sort of say, if anybody gets lost, if you... So that's not Jules Holland's job, that's kind of mine.
There we have it. And that's the kind of thing that getting a degree from the University of Lincoln, formerly University of Humberside, indeed formerly University of Lincolnshire Humberside, can lead you to. Or indeed the University of Hull. Gail, I can tell that you weren't hugely impressed with Olivia Newton-John singing Magic, even though it was from the classic movie Xanadu. That's all right. I can appreciate that. Would you like to bowl out a musical suggestion and we'll see if Mr. Computer can come up with the stuff, even as we speak?
Well, the thing is, my sort of remit on a daily basis is to play a very broad range of music,
of
quite eclectic music.
Yeah.
So we do, you know, we do late 70s, 80s, 90s.
So
it's all pretty mainstream.
Stop vacillating. Where are we going to go?
My guilty pleasure is always the Smiths.
Really?
So if you've got any Smiths, I would be absolutely cock-a-hoop.
Because that is
what I do all the cleaning to.
Really? That's very good. You know, when she was a student, she used to talk about cheesy peas, peasy cheese, cheesy peas. I'm sure that's all right. So we can offer you How Soon Is Now, This Charming Man, Panic, Shoplifters of the World, not really suitable, William, It Was Really Nothing, not dedicated to William Shatner, or indeed Panic, What Would You Like?
I am absolutely going to go for Panic.
Yeah, on the streets of London, on the streets of Birmingham. What are the last two questions we need to put to Gail Lofthouse at this stage, Katie Dore?
Have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today?
Oh, you're still saying that, Alex? Yes, I have, absolutely. Thank you.
Will you be joining us again soon?
Oh, only if Alex asks me. I haven't seen him for years, and I bumped into him in a field 2 weeks ago. So, yeah.
And they say the universe isn't putting us together in all sorts of ways. And Eva can be a vouch for that. And we went up in the helicopter, and she asked for some non-shiny reflective photographs for our Twitter feed. It's great.
I did. Thank you for that. Thank you very much.
And you asked for the Smiths. You got the Smiths. Still not quite sure about Gail's choice, hang the DJ, because it's really not good in any way, shape or form to even consider that particular side of things. After all, if you started going down that line before you knew where you were, you'd be... And I wonder why we're playing that little excerpt of music for the legend that is Arthur Weingarten. Arthur, welcome to the production. How are you?
The day, folks.
But no, it's only just beginning because we're reaching 7 minutes past 6 o'clock as far as Lincoln, England is actually concerned. And great excitement because we've already had a little clip from Laurel and Hardy with their drive time slot. Of course, you were specifically influenced by Stan and Ollie in your own comedic writing ways.
Yes, absolutely. Not just me, but legions of writers and actors and directors. Hitchcock, who started in silent films, was 100% influenced by them. I don't know if people are that aware, which he was so deft at what he did, you wouldn't be aware, but those of us who made it our business. Hitchcock took exactly the Laurel and Hardy, the two real and one real comedies, and extended it into his suspense because, for example, in any one of them, he shows you what the situation is, like the birds. Okay, some birds are coming on us, telegraph lines. And then he tells you what's going to happen by having people say, oh, those birds look quite a fright. I've never seen them do anything. Yeah, that. Then he actually makes it happen. And then when you see what's happening, the kicker is that isn't exactly what's happening. Something else is happening. And that follows the Laurel and Hardy thing.
Constant surprises. Now, 88 years ago, back in 1927, that's about 88 years ago, I don't know, quick calculations. We would do mathematics on this, so please call us studiosirenonline.co.uk. We've made a huge error there. The Battle of the Century has been found. Film is being released. This is something you saw when you were 8 or 9 years of age.
Yes.
Silent movie house in Times Square. And
yes, right next to Hubert's Flea Circus.
Hey, when you've got a flea, what's not to love? Free the flea, that's what we say. Bring the giant flea out. Flea circuses have received a bad reputation over the years. I think we should start a campaign to bring them back.
You've got to start from scratch.
Exactly. The quintessential Laurel and Hardy comedy. 3,000 cream pies flying through the air. Katie, it sounds like one of your average staff meetings at the University of Lincoln.
It sounds tame compared to our staff meetings.
On an ever-increasing crowd. Truly, I mean, I've got a little excerpt from the trailer of The Lonesome Pine coming up, but, you know, was this a movie which you thought, this says epic to me in it, with a capital E-P-I-C, Arthur?
Yes, yeah, it was. I can remember sitting in the silent movie house with my father on a Saturday morning, and the paroxysm of laughter that went through this, and it seated about 300 people. They were gasping, because it is the quintessential comedy thing in that, as Hitchcock did, they start out with a premise that you could not possibly lead to what it ends up with, in that Laurel is playing a prize fighter who is defeated by a referee giving a long count to his opponent and letting him get up and beat him. So Hardy, his manager, is going to have to make some money, so he decides that he'll have Laurel slip on a banana peel and he'll collect the insurance. Well, a pie delivery man slips on the banana peel instead of Laurel, and that starts with one pie in Hardy's face, the 3,000 pies being thrown to everyone. And it builds in such a way that you find yourself caught up in saying, no, hit this one. No, hit that one. It is extraordinary. And it's been attempts replicated many, many times, especially in a Natalie Wood movie, The Great Race, with Tony Curtis and a whole bunch of people. But nowhere near what these 3,000. It also, whereas Laurel was always thought of as the dupe and the simp, he ends up in a pie truck taking orders from the people who have run out of pies, and he's supplying them. So, you know, it goes all over the place, but ends up as a riot. I can't wait for it to be released, because I'm going to get the DVD.
We haven't got that pie scenario, but we're going to actually invite you to join Eva and Katie and, of course, our listener and myself in this little fun. Because, Eva, you said you might have just seen one Laurel and Hardy thing in your entire life.
I think so, yes. I'm not sure.
Well, we're going to actually have a little snippet now of the epic Trail of the Lonesome Pine, just for your good self, which, you know, if this doesn't actually set your toes tapping, who knows what will.
Give the gentleman the best in the house.
Yes, sir.
I'll be back in a minute.
On a mountain in Virginia stands a lonesome pine. Just below is the cabin home of a little girl of mine.
Her name is June, and very, very soon she'll belong to me. For I know she's waiting there for me neath that lone pine tree.
In the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, on the trail of the lonesome pine, in the pale moonshine, our hearts entwine, where she carved her name and I carved mine. Oh, June, oh, June, just like the mountains are blue, like the pine, I am lonesome for you. In the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, on the trail of the lonesome pine.
In the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, on the trail of the lonesome pine.
In the pale moonshine, our hearts entwine, where she carved her name and I carved mine. Oh, June, like the mountains, I'm blue, like the pine, I am lonesome for you.
In the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, on the trail of the lonesome pine.
Each week, the Live from Nashville sequence with Cameron Tilbury, I think, tries to reach that level of quality with the Trail of the Lonesome Pine. Never quite made it. Penny Evans has just sent a Facebook message in. Oh boy, Pete's favourite duo. That's, of course, her husband. Penny actually bought her husband a silk tie with Laurel and Hardy on for their 12th wedding
That's
anniversary.
That's wonderful. So, that's wonderful.
Celebrating their thing. So, Eva, we know what you'll be doing over the next few days, checking out Laurel and Hardy, will you not?
Yes, I probably will be, yes.
There are some, Arthur, who say that Laurel and Hardy, Abbott and Costello, similar kind of theme. Some people thought Abbott and Costello were slightly better. Where do you sit on this? Would you always say no, it's Stan and Ollie who ultimately would
Oh, no. I think Laurel and Hardy are the pinnacle, because if you take a look at what they did, Costello ones were really a one-joke kind of thing, and that extended out from it. But you had true characters here. Laurel was, you know, he was thought-free. He was innocent. There wasn't a thought that crossed his mind that had any depth to it, so that anything that resulted had no connection to the action. And Hardy was the exact opposite. He was an egoist. He never questioned his own actions or thoughts. And, of course, he was the one who ended up always in the shtunk, so that was that.
That's another fine mess you got us into, Arthur.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's always Laurel who's at fault, but it's Hardy who acts on Laurel's instincts. One of the wonderful things, I don't know if you've ever seen, I can't remember the film it was in, but Laurel wants to smoke a pipe, and he can't find a match. So he starts flicking his finger as you would a lighter. And sure enough, on the third flick, a flame erupts, and he puts it to his tobacco and puffs. And Hardy's been watching this and laughing at what an idiot he is. And suddenly, when it happens, of course, he does a double take. And then he turns away and looks back again, and then he tries it, and his thumb goes on fire. So if you take a look at what has been going on here, it's a constant play of two psychologically damaged people, but who are literally inalterably tied together. And that makes for great complex comedy. Whereas Abbott and Costello was who's on third, who's on first. And that was, you know,
and of course there's always the Marx Brothers as well, but that's another line in time.
Oh yes.
Heaps of things
without a doubt.
But interesting in terms of the importance of comedy. Katie, I think my favourite Laurel and Hardy number was the one where they're shifting a piano up the stairs. Which sort of seemed to echo quite some time, sort of furniture removals. Obviously, we wouldn't endorse the cigarette smoking scenario these days, much more health conscious, and you wouldn't want to sort of set fire to your fingers on that basis, even though I had my arm set alight a few weeks ago. Anyway, Katie, Laurel and Hardy?
It's something I remember watching on sort of a Sunday morning, and it's years since I've seen any, and that clip just reminded me of how funny they were.
Well, that's what YouTube is obviously for in terms of the whole thing.
Yes,
that's the new technology, which means it's the laughing gravy is the one that Penny Evans would like to say was one of her favourites. It was with the dog.
Yes, that was a wonderful one. Wonderful.
We
one.
Could share all sorts of things.
There's one in which they're...
It's like Friends, the one in which...
they're captured and Hardy is going to be hanged, and he is seated on a horse with the noose around his neck and over a tree trunk, and Laurel says, "Oh, Ollie," he says, I'm so sad. Can I ask you something, one last question? Of course, Stanley, what is it? Do you want to be buried or stuffed?
Splendid. It's the kind of scenario that, you know, it's truth. You know, it carries with it that very similitude. Arthur, it's been, I mean, we haven't really, to do anything other than justice to Laurel and Hardy, we'd probably need several days. But we don't have them, because we need to go to Emma Tinson in Surrey and also Phil Lerner's in Los Angeles. By the way, how's the weather over in your part of California?
We have had rain for several days, not a huge deluge, but enough so that homes in San Diego itself were flooded a bit, but the reservoirs have been filled a tiny bit, so the water deprivation has lessened somewhat. And it's overcast and cloudy, but in the 70s, so we're very happy.
Perfect.
We're happy here.
Obviously, psyching yourself up, because 7 days from now, Annette Andre actually sort of joins us for her own sort of unique take on life, the universe, which is always a classic. And we look forward to the e-book, which is upcoming. I'm already sort of crafting a few bits
not,
and pieces.
Not just an e-book. She's going to have a print book.
Hey! Yes.
See, yes. And I understand that you're going to do the introduction.
Well, I have been kindly asked, and I will hopefully deliver something which is
We're getting set for the bestseller record, so there you are.
This is important. Eva, would you like to put those last two questions in your own unique... She's going to be 18 on Friday. 18 years of English age.
Oh, 19 English years.
Yes. Oh, well, last year as a teenager approaches. Would you like to put those last two questions to Arthur Weingarten, please?
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Always more than reasonable, yes.
And will we be hearing again from you soon?
You absolutely will. Just call and I will respond.
See, there he is. That's Arthur. A round of applause for Arthur Weingarten. Yay!
Happy birthday, Eva. Happy birthday.
To many people, the letters E.T. signify phoning home, early Drew Barrymore, or cycling over the moon. For Midweek Drive aficionados, E.T. will always be the Surrey legend that is Emma Tinson. Who wrote this? I didn't write this. I'm American. E.T. stands for Entertainment Tonight. Nevertheless, Emma Tinson is all sorts of awesome.
All sorts of awesome. And indeed, standing there with the National Portrait Gallery, obviously with the team, as she was keeping us in order on Friday, in many ways actually being the Eva McDonald of the day, because Eva couldn't fit into the channel very much. But anyway, actually, to be fair, Eva would have been with us, but she had to get home quickly for a birthday party, not her own. But how did it go, by the way? Did you give a present other than money?
It was enjoyable, yes, I did.
And something other than... Oh, good. It was very good.
I did, yes.
She was worried in case she just had to pay money for
it. No, I gave my present.
Emma Tinson, welcome to the Midweek Drive. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you all doing?
Oh, I've got the usual quizzical sort of look on us when I was sandwiched between yourself and Ed Wellman at the National Portrait Gallery on Friday. Oh, a wonderful sort of experience, after fashion. But yes, it was good to connect with you. Do you miss us when you're down in Surrey and you're not live on the show, Emma, and you're listening in as a listener? Do you sort of think, I miss those sort of off-blue chairs that they sit on and such like?
Of course. It's a very different experience listening to it, though. It's so strange.
Exactly. So, strange as in strange. Good, strange. Because obviously you're stepping along the way for Phil Dean, etc. You're going to be partial director's notes on some of the sort of key areas there. You joined us, I believe, for a chunk of Gay Lofthouse and then followed through with Arthur Weingarten. So how's that been coming across?
Very good. It was nice to hear from Gail about... I guess being from a different radio station, so that was quite interesting.
It's a bit of a shocker to realise there are other radio stations than Siren. I'm constantly
amazed.
I know.
I think we have to say that Siren FM is best, but I mean, people might criticise me for that. Is that biased, maybe?
Well, Southside Broadcasting as well, if you want. I mean, there's lots of podcasts on there as well. You know, they both work well on that basis. And besides, we're allowed a certain amount of bias. And why not, indeed? As somebody would once say, bold and ambitious. I don't know who that might be, Katie. Just don't know. Prevents it to actually wear it on a T-shirt somewhere in Portugal. No, never mind. So, what have you made of the programme so far, Emma? And where would you like to take the direction of the narrative in the remaining moments?
Oh, good questions. Well, so far, I really enjoyed actually listening to Arthur about his experiences with the Laurel and Hardy films and stuff like that, because I've only seen bits of the classic black and white films, but I do remember quite vividly from my childhood seeing an animated series, obviously inspired by Laurel and Hardy, and I remember loving that. So I think it's great that it has sort of travelled through the generations, I guess.
Because humour is one of those things which, unless it's careful, can actually be, you know, it could be lost in the translation. It might be very much of the moment. I mean, in terms of people who have an appreciation for humour at one stage, what's funny in one concept might not be in the other. But the slapstick humour that I suppose Laurel and Hardy put together tends to remain constant. Which reminds me, of course, we forgot to actually mention that Turn on the Radio, which is the theme. Technically, it's for midweek drivers in the morning, although if you're in Los Angeles, it is the morning, so it's perfectly OK. Are you ready for 67 seconds more of Laurel and Hardy, Emma Tinson?
Of course.
What a beautiful morning. Turn on the radio and let's have some music. Great to have a good job to go to. It just makes the whole world bright. Why, even you look bright this morning.
Snap into the Katie Dorr wake-up signal. I agree, it's great to have a good job to go to, isn't it? Why, even you look good this morning. It's regularly greeted on that basis. And indeed, a little hats off to one of the fabulous cleaning folk here who's actually got her feather boa out and has just been sort of waving her magic wand. She's waving her magic wand in a wonderful, wonderful way. Oh, the excitement. By the way, Penny Evans would like to wish you a happy birthday, Eva. Oh, to be young again, she said.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's Friday, okay? That's okay. She'll be out of the country, don't worry. You know, it's too many fans. So, Emma, still there, still sorting through for that. Did that sort of help? Did you sort of, you know, your driving lessons will obviously be manifest with respect to the way in which the car was started and so on, no doubt.
Of course. It's all important. A good start to the day is very vital, I think.
Yeah, vital, exactly. And we're not just quoting from Mike Dooley from that perspective. Meanwhile, as life continues in its own merry way, what sort of questions would you like to put to Eva about her experience of the Great Yorkshire Show? Or maybe Eva might want to question you about the National Portrait Gallery.
Well, I think we should really talk about Eva in her birthday celebration. So have you got anything planned?
We're going to Tenerife, which will be exciting. So, because I mean, I've never been there before, so got to look out for the weather. That's always a good thing. I'm looking forward to it. Should be good.
Oh, good.
It'll be splendid.
I've been to Tenerife before, and it's lovely. Have you? Lovely place. Very, very good weather, so you should get a good tan, hopefully.
It's just one positive thing after another. That's the other thing. You know, whilst we're talking about humour. And I think, again, that's something else we don't hear too much, are we? Help! Help! There's a line on that basis.
Interesting pronunciation.
Yeah, what? Help! Help! Always very good with respect to perils of Penelope Pitstop.
Help!
Which is what I thought might have been applying on your national... Did you enjoy the National Portrait Gallery, Emma? Because, I mean, you joined us there for another report. You can actually access that on our website, podcast, etc. All sorts of things going up on that side of things. Who was your favourite portrait? Because Katie was very envious, I believe. It's fair to say, Katie, you were very envious. And I said, Katie, you were working at the time. It was a Friday. You were shedding blood for the University of Lincoln. Not literally.
I don't know.
Exactly. And there we were sort of checking out the National Portrait Gallery because it had to be done.
Wow. Exactly.
So did you enjoy the experience, Emma?
I did indeed. I think my favourite portrait there was probably William Shakespeare, because there was so much sort of mystery behind that picture, and that is sort of one of the few things we've got to go on him, because there is so much mystery around the Shakespeare plays and stuff like that. So it was interesting to see that in person.
just adds to the richness and quality of the whole experience. Coming up very shortly, of course, on the Midweek Drive, not tonight, but you know, I'm sure Phil Lunas might speak about it. We have the wonderful Charles people who will be joining us on the programme. Next week we'll be speaking to a whole heap of fine folk, but we don't want to sort of tease ahead too much at this stage because Eva won't be here. She'll have to listen in from Canary Islands, but Katie will be, so that's important. But Phil Lunas' time approaches. So, before he starts saying, help, help, would you like to ask those last two questions to Emma Tinson, please? Eva.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Good. I have indeed.
And will we be hearing again from you soon?
I hope so.
Yeah. I think we probably sort of put you in from that sort of point of view. At least it helps the connection go on that basis, you know. Keeps the connection going between Surrey and Lincoln. Two parts of civilization that are otherwise connected by the joy that is Emma Tinson. If we said Deacon Blue, would you be happy with respect to that?
Yes.
She says yes because she's probably never heard of Deacon Blue before her time, actually. It's a 1980s exactly. band. 1980s band from Scotland, you know. Ricky Ross used to be lead singer. Lorraine McIntosh was the sort of assistant singer. And they're still doing this stuff. This is Loaded.
To Lincoln and via sirenonline.co.uk to the world. It's time for the Midweek Drive to connect with investigative filmmaker and planetary truth seeker, the one, the only, Phil Lunas.
Yay! We should actually add to truth seeker and investigative warrior, breaker of the internet as well. It would appear, Phil Lunas. Is that the case?
I broke at least a part of the internet. You see, for those who don't know, I am not just, a moderately successful independent filmmaker and the podiatrist to the stars. I am also one half of the podcasting duo known as Dean and Phil, your Chill Pack Hollywood Hour. And my partner in podcasting crime, Dean Haglund, is very well known for having played a character called the Langley, one of the lone gunmen, on a TV series called The X-Files. Some of you may remember it. And The X-Files are coming back, and so are the lone gunmen on the new X-Files.
So it's going to be set in Australia then, is it?
No, I posted the official confirmation just now, though, which was from a news site in Australia. Dean announced it last night on stage in Sydney. And no quicker had I posted the link to the official confirmation than we broke that site. So as you and I were talking about during the break there, Alex, if in a very Mike Dooley-esque way, if you want to break the internet, use good news. Nothing will break the internet faster than good news. So very terribly exciting.
Some might say it's good news that Alex Brown is up at 7 p.m. Well, actually 2 minutes past 7 or thereabouts, because he follows the Midweek Drive. So some might say no. Anyway, it's all good news.
That broke part of the internet.
Yes, exactly.
So in answer to your question, though, Alex, about whether they'll do it down under, 2 weeks ago, Dean flew through Los Angeles. Not even 2 weeks ago. He flew through Los Angeles, had a brief layover of a matter of hours before heading to the East Coast for a convention in Connecticut. And we did a show while he was here. I picked him up at the airport and drove him to his place. And we did a show in the car. And during that show, he confessed that the casting office, he said, "I know, I've heard nothing. I've heard nothing from the X-Files. I've heard nothing about it." But then later he confessed that he found out that the casting office had been trying to reach him. And I said, "Well, have you returned their calls?" And he goes, "No, why bother? If they really want to reach me, they can reach me." And it's like, why do you think they would be trying to reach you? Just to see how you're doing? And so I shamed him on the show into getting in touch with them because he has moved. He's moved to Australia. He doesn't have the same representatives. And he might think it's easy for people to go to his website and email him that way. Though, you know, honestly, I think a lot of times what casting people want to be able to do is pick up the phone and talk to you. And the other thing is, Dean doesn't read his emails anyway. So
we know, Phil.
So we shamed him. So I shamed him on the show, and obviously he got in touch. And you know, as you know, Alex, he supposedly moved to Australia, but he flies back into L.A., goes immediately to Connecticut. From Connecticut, he flies to New Zealand. From New Zealand to Sydney, only so that he can get on a plane to Melbourne. Then from Melbourne, he comes back to Sydney to do this event last night. Now he's got to go back to Melbourne for more events. He doesn't return. He's not scheduled to return from Melbourne to Sydney till Sunday, and he's expected to be on set in Vancouver on Tuesday. So I don't think he's unpacked in Australia yet, really, to be honest with you. He moved, but he just moved to an airline near you.
And that's one of the reasons we haven't featured him on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, when, of course, it'll be evening time in Australia as opposed to midnight in Los Angeles. But still, next week, you might be pleased to know, we'll hopefully be welcoming back Combat Radio's very own... You know, I've forgotten his name for a moment there. I have. Shocking. And he actually represents Dirk Benedict, amongst us, anything else. And he was one of the filliest scenarios. Give me a Combat Radio name, Phil.
Well, the host and producer of Combat Radio, Ethan Dettenmeyer.
Ethan Dettenmeyer. There you are, you see. Thank you.
Oh, good. Well, you can ask him why Dean nor I have heard anything from him in a year and a half.
We'll put that down. We'll put that down on a list of things to actually question him. I mean, obviously, we may have a false... Who knows? But fingers crossed, at this stage, it looks as though the deal has been signed. Hats off to Karen Foreman and Lily Holloman, of course, who returned, I can't believe this, one final time for Chilpack Hollywood Hour number 427 before launching their own podcast. Ah, spin-off series. To guest hosts for your friends in podcasting, that, of course, being the aforementioned Dean and Phil. So
yes, it doesn't mean they won't at some point get those again. But really, the effort now is towards recording some interviews and some comedic pieces for their own spin-off series, which we expect to launch, make the first episode available probably about a month from now.
I know before we ask for your views and notes on the show, Phil, you would feel that it was most remiss not to have one Penny Evans comment on the Dean Haglund scenario, and she says as follows. In fact, actually, would you like to, apart from the last word there, where we actually somewhat teed off, would you like to read that one out to Eva? That's the Penny Evans line that we can actually hear her last sort of contribution. Go for it.
That one
there, exactly.
Dean must have one red email once, though, as he replied to me back in 2006 and
let me know was officially not in the second X-Files movie. So there we are. I replied in 2006, the last time Dean Haglund officially did his email checking. So there we are. Sorry, Dean. Anyway, Phil, over to you. Have you gone?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
He'd zoned out there for a moment. We thought, whoa, he's just gone time traveling again into the cracks of the universe, as Mike did.
You mentioned Karen and Lily. I mentioned Dean and Phil.
Yes.
So glad that you were going to be welcoming to the airwaves the comedy duo known as Charles.
Yes.
This is very exciting. So they're appearing via phone tonight. Or for me tonight, for you the morning. Is that right? So it's midnight Los Angeles?
No. Hopefully sometime next week or the week after, Charles will be featured.
Oh, next week?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a trailer head. All right. It's a teaser. Anyway.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so this is... there's so many things for me to look forward
to. So much excitement. It's just unbelievable. But meanwhile, Katie is desperately keen to find out what you've made of the show. We heard what Emma Timpson had made of part of Arthur Weingarten, a little bit of Gay Lofthouse, of course. But it's really up to you, Phil, to actually check out, you know, from Cameron Tilbury, Anna Lewis, Mike Dooley, onwards, your own views on the show. Isn't that right, Katie?
Oh, yes. We want your feedback.
Feedback, very important.
I've enjoyed all of it and listened to all of it. This was a kind of a blissful morning for me, where I just decided I was going to make coffee, turn on the air conditioner, turn on the sounds of the Midweek Drive, and just kick back and enjoy it. And prior to breaking the internet, of course. but enjoy it, I've done. And yet I don't feel the need to add or as I so often do, take issue with anyone on the show. I mean, so many of my favorites, though. I, as you know, I've become fascinated by, well, all the islands. Really, honestly, all the Channel Islands now I've become fascinated by and would love to shoot something there. And, of course, you know, Mike Dooley, so inspirational. The book he was describing, this is a thought. Here, we'll have a production meeting on the air. No one likes this more than me, I guess. Alex, you gifted me that book he was describing, mm-hmm. the could be viewed as a fictional book.
I did, yes.
Right?
I did indeed, yes. And I'm glad you remember, Phil. I always like to ensure that, you know, those connections are made. Very good. Lost in
space. I think we ought to turn that into some kind of animated film property.
I would go with that. And I think that would be a splendid idea. And I'm sure we can speak with Mike, and it'd be wonderful. It'd be a wondrous experience all over the place, really.
Or we don't let him know. We just surprise him.
Exactly. Let's hope he's stopped listening to the show now. Otherwise, who knows what can happen. I mean, let's see. In Florida now, it's coming out. It's well into the afternoon in Florida, I think, as far as we're aware. So who knows? Anyway, we should really have one of those collection of clocks on the wall to actually sort our way through that whole process. Anyway,
you know what? I mean, this is strange. See, I've enjoyed the show so much that instead of really like jotting down notes and really worrying about what I was going to contribute, it's all been about just kind of things I want, Alex. That's all. So, you know what? I've decided after all these years of you breaking me down, of you, here's a Clockwork Orange reference,
yes,
that I dedicate to my late friend Aubrey Morris, Mr. Deltoid, who left us this last week. So I'm going to Ludovico technique you. You Ludovico technique.
I'm
going to
force
me,
those
Alex.
Eyelids open, then. I'm going to force
Quite
those
frankly,
eyelids open.
You can, but your Ludovico technique is, of course, an audio technique. So you force my eardrums open? I don't know. But to the wonders of David Cassidy. It's taken now, how many years have I been doing this show? Many years for me to realize, you know what I would like? I would like Alex to draft up for me an essential David Cassidy playlist.
There you are. Yeah, I'll get on it. There's no worries.
Will you really?
I do.
I'm serious. Some switch flipped, and I found myself this morning, I hope he will play David Cassidy. Mm-hmm. And again, it's a song I didn't know, although I immediately started researching. And boy, he really was popular there in the UK. So if I've ever made fun of your fixation on David Cassidy, I wouldn't say
It's a scary thing, Phil. I just feel that, you know, ever since he wore Manchester City shirt at Main Road Stadium, of course that's no longer the case, he's been worthy of acknowledgement. And, you know, the kid who bought the wreck said, "What the heck, I'll give you 35. Didn't we have some kind of a summer? Don't forget Kim Carnes did his backing singing.
Well, I never quite understood that David Cassidy was so much more popular in the UK than he was in the US, but this is really borne out by historical evidence. His songs and his albums would always chart in the top 10 there.
How can
whereas
I be sure?
They might,
could
they
it be
might,
forever?
Be comfortably ensconced, let's say, in the 50s to 100s on our chart here, if they got released at all. Many of his works as we approach the 80s didn't find U.S. distribution, whereas they were still popular there in the U.K. The other market where he's very popular historically was Norway, which, as we know, is the land of my ancestors.
Precisely.
On my father's side. So it's all coming up, David Cassidy. Mm-hmm. When will he be on the show? Has he been on the show?
Can we get David Cassidy on the show?
I didn't think you'd be around for David Cassidy, but yes. Shirley Jones, of course, has joined us several times. So that's his step-mum, and of course, mum in the Partridge Family. So we'll set the wheels in motion.
Yeah,
we'll set the wheels in motion for that.
How have those wheels not been set in motion before?
Well,
you're obsessed by David Cassidy.
No.
How did that? Is this a case where you're scared of meeting one of your idols, like I discussed last week? You know, I always, on the one hand, I would have loved to have interviewed Orson Welles. On the other hand, I would have been terrified because if he was bitter, it would have just broken my heart. Is this the case there, Alex?
Not at all, Bill. I'll start work immediately on looking to track down the individual. I mean, after all, he did Piers Morgan. So, I mean, if he does Piers Morgan, he should be able to do the Midweek Drive. You know, that's all we can actually say.
We're much nicer.
Here's my... If you have him, and of course, ideally, I guess, in studio, I don't think he's got a lot going on, so in studio could happen. One poster. Take down one poster from your wall, Alex, to have him sign. Don't bring more than one. It's bad form.
Right. Good point. Always important. Surprisingly enough, I don't think I have a single David Cassidy poster. But Eva, you know not of what we speak, do you, my child?
No, I don't.
No.
No.
Exactly.
My mum has quite a collection of David Cassidy posters. I grew up listening to David Cassidy because my mum is absolutely besotted with him.
How could you be sure? Were you lonely too long? Could it be forever? Sorry.
Well, you know what Eva might know David Cassidy from? From earlier in the show when you played a song.
Maybe, yeah, maybe, yeah. Yes.
Although I didn't actually know, I just sort of slipped it in from a particular perspective, so it's important. Listen, tomorrow morning we're going to be talking about the top 10 embarrassing parent moments with Jason Barlow from Top Gear, amongst other things. Apparently, I'll just go through these in top 5. Burping in public, not good for parents to do. Okay, I don't know. Using saliva to wipe kids' faces.
Ick.
Yeah.
No.
Karaoke sessions in the car, actually singing in the car. And, of course, number 2, dancing around the house like a person possessed. I actually pointed out to Jason this could mean that you're actually in need of an exorcism. Who took that? And telling bad jokes. Those are the most top 10 embarrassing parent moments in the UK as far as Allianz insurance are concerned. More on that tomorrow. Still time, Phil, to cover a few other topics. Where would you like to go?
I'd want to do some promotion, self-promotion.
Good.
So on this week's, this coming week's Chilpack Hollywood Hour, which people can find at chillpackhollywood.com, C-H-I-L-L-P-A-K, Hollywood.com, they can download them and stream them. They can subscribe in so many ways. But on this coming show...
Is that the one from the offices of Rational Exuberance, Phil?
No, it hasn't been for a long time, because, as you know, Dean Haglund moved. So, no, thank you for playing, but incorrect. And so now we throw the question over to, I don't know, why I feel like I'm on a game show all of a sudden. Anyway, the point is it's going to be a very exciting episode this week, because not only will I get Dean in transit to Vancouver and talk about what the gunman will be doing, but I will be talking about the shows that he's been doing in both Down Under and in Connecticut. But also we'll be revealing a whole new way that we do the show. This will be the first show of our new era and a new theme song. Alex Lefchuk, what could be more exciting?
Unbelievable.
Does the Midweek Drive have an official theme song?
Well, we have over the years. We've had two or three, but I stopped the official theme tune about 4 or 5 years ago, actually. Probably beyond that. I just thought there was so much to pack into the show, we had to just jump straight in. We thought, bang. It's a bit like titles. It's a bit like titles. J.J. Abrahams, does he bother with Lost? He just puts on Lost. There you go. Alias, straight in there. You know, there's just too much to pack in. Anyway.
So you're telling me that one musical selection from within the show couldn't be cut to make time for one musical selection at the top of the show?
Well,
if I'm going to hit you with logic, I know you don't want to chit-chat. The obvious thing here for me, the follow-up question is, does this theme song have lyrics?
No, actually. In fact, we could actually give you the very first theme tune that we ever played, if you want to have a little bit of archive material, because I'm sure it's still in Mr. Computer. So this actually goes
That'd be delightful, but then the next step will have to be, we need to get lyrics for it, and then the final step, David Cassidy will have to sing it.
Yeah, difficult call, because this was the very first theme I think we used back in the 1980s, actually, so before many folk were around. And this was actually it, Phil. So the official Midweek Drive used to launch, when of course it was the Associated Joints and Ligaments show, with this. And then, of course, if we had a mind after doing the introductions and the various other bits and pieces, we'd go on to something like this. And then I might just go back to this again. But in the end, I thought, no, what the heck. So there we are, just a little smidgen there of the whole thing, whilst I ask Eva for a number between 2 and 26, please.
Let's say 20.
20. Very good. And, of course, now you've actually spoken to the guru who actually produces the whole system. It gives you a whole new insight into what number 20 might actually respond to and work through. So here is number 20.
We're older than the sun, wiser than the moon, and deeper than the depths of space. We've always been together, we'll always be together. And until thy kingdom comes and we are known as one, nothing will ever change this. Whatever you imagine, I can make happen. Whatever you want, I already have. And for as long as you have thoughts to think, dreams to weave, and seeds to sow, nothing for us will be impossible. What I'm trying to get at is that whatever you now want, I think we can handle it. Your other half, the universe. P.S. Your dreams are what I've dreamed for you.
Works for me, as Hunter might have said. That's pretty much it. Last two questions for, I was going to say David Cassie there. Oh, it's Freudian slip there. Last two questions for Phil Leonis, please. Katie. Oh, sorry about that.
That wasn't me.
Bursting in there. That's so much as a by your leave. Yeah,
I know.
Exactly.
Wow, Katie, calm down. I know it's exciting to throw those last two questions at me because it means my time is almost up. But please.
I know, I'll keep it under control this time. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
No, it's been fascinating but completely unreasonable, and I feel like I feel like you've all been very patient with me as I've lost my mind. Thank you.
Will you be joining us again soon?
If you'll have me back after the shameless disaster that was this appearance.
Phil, methinks you doth protest too much. It's been another Midweek Drive. We're back at midnight Los Angeles time, 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Are you back with us then, Eva MacDonald?
I am indeed.
Katie, you could drop by if you wanted to, you know, sit in on the mornings thing if you really sort of fit in there. Anyway, if not, we'll see you next week. Cameron Tilbury, we salute you. Anna Lewis, Mike Dooley, Gay Loftus, Arthur Weingarten, Emma Tinson, Phil Leonis, thank you. Thank you, dear listener. Thank you, Penny, of course, for your usual contributions of wonderful wit and wisdom. It's Fifth Harmony featuring Kid Ink, taking us up to the news. Can we all say bye-bye? A 1, 2, 3.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.